Good evening. We are few in number here, brethren, but we are worshiping God.
Amen.
What we're talking about tonight, Christians, is not losing heart. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, one of the first things that verse says is not to lose heart. And turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. And we might think of reasons why we shouldn't lose heart because of trials that come in our lives or because our brethren maybe are not here tonight whenever we're assembled together. But Hebrews 10, 25 will tell us what we need to know. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And if you look back in verse 24, this is even stirring up love and good works and considering one another. So brethren, as we're looking around tonight and as we're losing heart, as we're discouraged by the amount of brethren that are gone tonight, by the amount of brethren of children of God who are brothers and sisters that are gone tonight, not exhorting us, not encouraging us because they've chosen not to be here. As we're looking around, and as we didn't see that many people come in the door, know that it's not you that they're rejecting. Know that it's not us that they're ultimately going against by their actions. It's God that they're going against by their actions. And forsaking the assembly is something that is a transgression against God. It's not a transgression against us, although it is in heart. And against, you know, exhorting one another. But it's a transgression against God. Are we assembled here tonight? Yes, we are. And the people who are not assembled here tonight with us, are they forsaking the assembly? They are forsaking the assembly. So we can talk about it just being on a Sunday morning all we want. But the text says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So when do we assemble? And we're under the eldership here, which decides to assemble two times today. So why aren't these people here? Why are the brethren missing tonight? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. They should be here. Once again, it's not us they're rejecting. It's God they're rejecting. So don't lose heart. Why? Because they're rejecting God. They're not rejecting us. They're not doing it for some reason against us, but it's ultimately against God. And that is a very sad thing, Christians. It's incredibly sad. It's incredibly discouraging maybe to us, but let it not be. Whether there's one of us, whether there's two of us, whether there's three of us, which I know some churches of Christ have around three people, have around four or five people. I know that there are churches like that, and they're still going on. Maybe they're meeting in their houses because of all these people that choose not to come and assemble together with the saints. That is something that they're doing once again against God. So don't lose heart. Don't lose heart tonight because of their choice not to be here. That's like losing heart over their choices to commit any other sin. And I'll ask you a question since I blatantly said it. Is forsaking the assembling of ourselves together a sin? It is, actually. Does that mean just on Sunday morning? No. The text doesn't say that. So what does that mean? If you're watching tonight on the internet, why are you not here? Ask yourself that question. Why am I not here tonight? Why am I not at church services tonight, responding to the commandment of God and doing what He told me to do? Why am I not? Because that is a transgression against God. I'm not here to make you feel good. I'm here to preach God's Word. So Christians, I'm going to say what I need to say. I'm going to say what God wants me to say. And not all sermons are going to be happy and fruit, enjoy everything kind of sermons. Some of them are going to be hitting you in the face. And we need those sermons. Because that's what's going to correct you spiritually, get you back on the right path. So whether we have eight here tonight, like we do, whether we have eight, whether we have five, we're still going to worship God. And if you choose not to be here, that's your choice. So, once again, that's forsaking the assembling together. And that's ultimately a transgression against God. And I encourage you that you might go back to services wherever you're from, that you might go back to church services and worship God with your brethren, because that is commanded, Christians, and we should know better. Now, 2 Corinthians 4:16, let's get into our lesson. I've been saving a lesson about that passage for quite a while now, Hebrews 10:25, but I think we're getting to the time where I'm going to have to start doing that. Hebrews 10:25, and how people continue to forsake the assembly. Once again, it's not a charge, it's not something against us, it's against God. So, 2 Corinthians 4:16, let's read it together. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So what we just talked about there, stated clear, don't lose heart. And we can be talking about many things here. We've mentioned, because it applies to us this evening, how many people are not here tonight. They've chosen not to be here. They've gone against God ultimately by choosing not to be here. They've really gone against the word of the elders that we assemble together tonight, which really would be a transgression. They're to heed the word of the elders as those members in the Church of Christ at Berryville. So all of these things ultimately are transgressions against God, not against us once again. But don't lose heart, even though they're gone. Don't lose heart. Don't lose your energy for doing God's law and doing God's will. Don't let other people discourage you and make you stop doing what you need to do for God. Stop doing the best that you can for God. Because if you're letting someone else push you and manage your spirituality and manage your Christian life, if you're letting somebody else do that, what is your Christian life at all? First of all, it's a personal relationship with God. And Christians, don't let someone else take you down spiritually. Don't let somebody else hinder you from doing what you need to do. And the reason I'm kind of talking slow tonight and getting a little bit emotional is because there's so many people not here tonight who should be here. It's just a sad, sad thing. It's a terrible thing. And I want you to know that we're not the only ones like this tonight. There are many churches of Christ tonight that are meeting in the evening where half of the congregation, if not three-fourths of the congregation, is missing. And the question we ask is why? Why are all these people missing? And is it consistent from congregation to congregation? If it's consistent from congregation to congregation, and elderships agree that 75% of the church is missing on Sunday evenings, on Sunday afternoons, the second period of worship service, and on Wednesday nights, if that's a consistent thing, is it always about people being sick? If they can make it in the mornings, is it always about people being sick? Is it always about people not feeling that well for the day? Or is it because they chose not to be there? You see, here we run into the problem of the many not wanting to do the will of God. Look at the world around you. How many people are of the world? How many people are not Christians? We've probably got less than 1% of people in this world who are going to be saved of the 7.8 billion. And that number of the 7.8, of the 99% of people that won't be saved because of their choices, you know that that's also counting fallen away brethren? That's also counting those in the Church of Christ who choose not to assemble, who choose not to be here tonight? That's also counting that number. And I'm not meaning to make this a different lesson, but sometimes we as preachers have to change our lessons based on what's going on, based on the situation at hand. And Christians, I know that we're doing what we need to do tonight. I know we're encouraging our brethren as much as we can. But sometimes there's nothing that you can do for someone because they're just going to keep making the same choice over and over again. And they're doing it ultimately to their own destruction. We can exhort them. We can even maybe rebuke them. Me as a preacher, as I'm supposed to do as well. We can do all these things, but ultimately they're going to make their own choice. But what I'm saying to you is don't lose heart in this. Don't lose heart in it. Don't get discouraged by it. Don't get discouraged by the numbers that we have here tonight. I heard that there used to be over 100 people here a while ago. There used to be a lot of people at this congregation. That almost brings tears to my eyes. That, first of all, shows the condition of our society. Shows the condition... No. Not of our society. That shows the condition of the church. The condition of the church of Christ. And then our society. Because we Christians should be different from the world. We should be different. And yet they're all choosing to be out in the world tonight, doing whatever they want in their own things, and forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. It's a real sad thing, and I'm trying not to have a little upset moment here, but we just have to keep doing what we need to do, Christians. We have to do our best, and we have to make sure that we're doing the best that we can for God. In Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We need to be encouraged. We need to wear the armor of God proud, use the Word of God proud, resist the devil proud, resist evil proudly. We need to do all of this with zeal, with strength, with every ounce of energy that we have, and never let us be discouraged by the people that choose not to do the will of God, by the people that choose not to be here tonight. Don't lose patience in waiting for God's justice or judgment day. It will be delivered. Don't allow yourself to lose heart. As a Christian, remain strong. Don't lose spiritual strength in fighting the devil and fighting evil. Keep it. Hold on to it. And fight as much as you can every single day. How many people, since I'm already on it, and our sister, I heard you a moment ago, Billy, you mentioned something that really hit my heart, kind of, but are we about to enter the ark tonight, is what you said. And you were referring to the number of people that we have here. We have 8 people here tonight. And the entire world besides Noah was destroyed for their sin. And we have 8 people here tonight, just like Noah did. Do you see how God's people are a remnant now? In the times of Noah, they were a remnant. In the times of Israel with Elijah, they were a remnant. In the times of Jesus and the disciples, they were also a remnant. And guess what they are now? They're a remnant. 8 people. I guess we might get on the ark tonight. If Jesus comes again, we will. In a way. But just some encouraging things to think about. But don't lose heart. Protect your soul with God and His Word, despite the choices of other people, despite how life grieves you, despite how life tries you, protect your soul. And make sure that you're doing everything that you need to be doing for God, regardless of other people's actions. And I keep saying regardless of other people's actions because tonight we have 8 people here, because tonight there are so many people choosing not to be here, and they're brethren. They're children of God who know better. They know better, and they're not here. That's awful. That's a sad thing. It's a very sad thing. So protect yourself and make sure yourself that you are doing the best that you can for God, because you're not going to be able to save everyone. Jesus couldn't even. He couldn't save a lot of those Pharisees. They were so prideful, and they just wanted more to kill Him than anything. He couldn't save most people, and we can't either. Not even with miracles could He save them. But Christians, once again, it's always going to be a remnant. So we can't lose heart just because someone else won't accept God, just because someone else won't do the will of God. We can't let that destroy us and destroy our faith and destroy our relationship with God. If that destroys your relationship with God, what relationship did you have at all? Be strong in the Lord. Be strong and be confident that you will be delivered on the day of judgment. No matter how long this life goes, no matter how much even brethren persecute you in whatever way that is, no matter how much the world persecutes you in whatever way that is, know that you will be delivered. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, Ephesians 6:10. Now Philippians 3:14. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. I love my verses. I had a ton of verses tonight that we were going to go through, but I don't think we're going to be able to read all of them because we needed to talk about a few things at first, and I hope many people see that, our clip here tonight. But Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What's the goal in our life? Well, we might ask an application, what's the goal of the people who are not here tonight? We look down, don't we? What's the goal? Why are they gone? And what is our goal? Those who are here tonight, you're here to gain spiritual knowledge. You're here to worship God as God commanded you. You're here because you are assembling together with the saints as you were commanded. And as you love God, you of course do His will. And you are pressing on toward the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, just as Paul was doing. You're pressing toward that prize, that goal for the prize. You're pressing towards that. What are the others pressing towards? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Do you know why it doesn't matter? Because don't let them affect your faith. Don't let them take you down. Because they choose not to be here tonight, don't let that hurt your faith. Don't let that hurt you and discourage you. Once again, we could be three people and we would still worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen? That's what we would do regardless of how many people that we had. There are churches of Christ with less of us. And they still continue to go on. So don't lose heart. That's the message that I'm trying to get to you. If you're taking notes tonight, Deuteronomy 31:6 is a good reference for as Christians we must remain strong. It's a good Old Testament reference, Deuteronomy 31:6. But as well, Hebrews 13:5. I'm going to read that for us. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, verse 6, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? During this life, God will take care of our physical needs. He will care for us. He will help us with whatever necessities that we have in this life. So maybe while some people are not out at services tonight, not worshiping God tonight, not choosing maybe to worship God at all today, while they chose that, they were out taking care of their physical needs whenever they should have been, leaving that to God. So some people might use that argument. That's why I'm saying it. They might use the argument of, well, we needed to take care of our physical needs tonight. Maybe I needed to work tonight so I could feed my family. Why don't you just leave that to God? And who else can you call for help in those matters? Do you need to leave that to yourself, or can you call for the help of your brethren? You can call for the help of your brethren as you're supposed to, and as your brethren are supposed to help you. If we never get help from each other, then what happened to the church? Because the first century church did that all the time. And they were being commanded to do that all the time. So we need to help each other. That's no excuse not to be here tonight, Christians. If you're here tonight, if you're not here tonight, if you're not at worship services for a second time today, or maybe you didn't have one at all, maybe you weren't here at worship services at all today. Why again? And Christians who did go to worship services, don't lose heart because of the choices of others. And a sermon like this, preached at a large group of people, would get a lot of people going like this. They would get angry at you. Get angry at the preacher. How could that preacher say that about me? How could that preacher say that about us? That's what you get. Nonetheless, I'm still going to preach it. And do you know why? Because I care about your soul. And I don't want you to be condemned for the choices that you're making tonight. It's a sad thing, Christians. It's a sad thing. So don't lose heart because of that, because of the choices of others once again. And remember that we have everything that we need. So we can't make excuses about that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to get across here is that we have a victory no matter what in Jesus Christ. So you might think, as our sister a moment ago brought up that example in my mind, that Noah and his family, really there were eight people that were saved on that day, and they had victory ultimately through God. They had victory through the deliverance of God because they chose to do His will. Well, for us, whether we're eight, whether we're nine, whether we're two people, whether we're one, we will still get victory in Christ Jesus whenever the time ends. No matter what other people do to us, we'll get that victory in Jesus. Now, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11. Revelation 3:11, I'll read it real quick for us. "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." No one can take the reward of God from us. They couldn't take it away from Noah. They couldn't take it away from Abraham. They couldn't take it away from anyone who is a child of God all throughout time. They couldn't take away those rewards. Not even the land of Canaan could they take away, except it be by their own choices. So once again, the reward tonight, if Jesus came again, except it be by our own choices, us choosing not to worship God in spirit and in truth today, if we choose that, then our reward will be taken away. Amen. Why do people choose that? It's a mystery in all of our minds. It's a sad thing, but we have that inheritance, and we are heirs of a promise regardless of the actions of a sinful world and of even sinful brethren. We have an inheritance waiting for us, a home in heaven with brethren who were true, who stayed true to God, and who did assemble together to worship God. We will be with those brethren, not with the brethren who chose not to go assemble together to worship God and take 5 seconds out of their day, out of their week, to assemble together to worship God. We will be with those who did choose to worship God, Christians, tonight, who are here. We will be with those, not with the ones who chose not to. God is my witness. I preach only His words. I'm not preaching my opinion tonight. If you're getting upset at me because of my opinion, I'm not preaching my opinion. Go read Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 and let your own hearts be rebuked. Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. Let's read it together. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Let me ask you a question. If a visitor walked through those doors tonight, what would they be encouraged by the number here? Whose fault is that? Is that our fault? Whose fault is that? I'm looking at them. I'm not looking at them. Where'd they go? Whose fault is that? It's not ours tonight. So if you blame yourselves, if you lose heart because of that, not your fault. It's their fault. That's a sad thing, and it's their fault, the ones who are not here tonight. I continue to apply this over and over again because, Christians, this is a very, very important lesson for us to understand. We have a congregation, and many congregations in the Church of Christ today are losing their numbers. I mean, so many Churches of Christ. COVID hit, and it just blew up the church. It just blew up the church. All these people decided to stop going to church services because they wanted to wear a mask, because they wanted to do whatever, and they had all sorts of excuses. And now some of them are still worshiping in their homes, if you call it worshiping. They're still in their homes. Maybe they're not even going to church services at all. Maybe they converted to a denomination. Maybe they simply left God entirely, because that happened everywhere with the Church of Christ. We're facing the same thing tonight, not because of just COVID, but because of the choices of men. Just as they chose in Israel, just as they chose back in the Old Testament not to follow God, they're choosing that tonight. So Christians, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart because of their decisions, because of their choices that they're making tonight. I continue to reemphasize that to you. Now let's talk about a few things before we end our lesson tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5:1, these are very encouraging things that I want to get to you before we end. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Our earthly house, I love Paul. His wording is beautiful because you can tell he really believed it. You can tell he really, really believed it. And it's the words of the Holy Spirit, ultimately. But Paul really enacted this. He lived his life like he was in a tent. He lived his life like it really didn't matter what happened to him. He was going to accomplish the mission of God no matter what. No matter what choices people made against him. No matter how he was persecuted. He still made the choice to do God's will. Because he knew that even if his earthly house, his body, his vessel, we all have vessels here tonight, and within us we have souls, we have spirits. And Paul knew that, and he knew as well that he had a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Once again, the paradise is not on this earth, it's in heaven. Death, not the end. It's a gateway. Don't be afraid of death, Christians. The outward man is perishing, just as our main text would tell you. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, our main text says there, the outward man is perishing. The inward man ultimately is renewed day by day. But the outward man, perishing. Paul understood that our tents are wearing down. All of us. There's no telling when the end of our days could be. Any of us. So we have to be ready. We have to be ready ultimately for that judgment day. We have to be ready for God's return. So our bodies, they break down. They don't last. And one thing just simply put that I want you to understand is that our bodies don't, they're not built actually to last an eternity on this earth. They're not actually built to last like that. Our bodies are actually built to last for a certain period of time. So if you think about a house, if you think about any sort of structure, we have some builders in here. Think about of any sort of structure, you build it and you know it's going to last for so-and-so amount of time, or maybe you build it to last for so-and-so amount of time. God has done the same with our bodies. He's designed it the same way like that. He's designed us to last for such and such a time. And then so, we can go to such and such a place after that building finally collapses. We can get what's better. We can get what's far better. Whenever our bodies wear down and the soul leaves the body, the spirit leaves the body, that which was given to us. Zechariah 12:1. We're going way ahead in the lesson here because I want you to see a beautiful verse. Zechariah 12:1. I haven't shared this verse with you yet, but this is an absolutely beautiful verse. One of the only scriptures like this in the Bible. But the burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Zechariah 12:1. The burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and does what? Forms the spirit of man within him. Forms the spirit of man within him. That's a beautiful verse. You think about a baby or something. You think about any man or woman or child or baby even in the womb, who's the one who forms the spirit within that baby? God is. God forms the spirit within that person. And that spirit will remain in you, an eternal entity, an eternal thing, will live in you. And you are ultimately that spirit. You are that spirit that God has given you. And you are living in this vessel, this earthly tent that will wear down, that will destroy at that certain appointed time that God has given to you. And you will ultimately, after that, your soul will leave your body, your spirit will leave your body, and you'll go be with God if you did what you needed to do for God in this life. Beautiful, beautiful verse there. Beautiful verse that we can read. I really do encourage you to write that down. Now, death is not the end of life for the child of God. We read Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 quite a bit to talk about what? Sin. We use it to talk about sin quite a bit. The wages of sin is death. But, and we forget that conjunction there sometimes. But, what does it say? Romans 6:23. We'll start in verse 22. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, conjunction, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So our outward bodies are perishing. What we have on the outside, these bodies that are wearing down all the time, that get sicknesses, that get diseases. Some people don't even make it out of the womb without a disease. Some people don't even make it out of the womb with having some sort of paralyzation or something. That's a terrible thing. But this life has trials. This life has constant wearing down and breaking like that. Does heaven? No, it doesn't. Do our spirits, do our souls? No, they don't. Our spirits, our souls are ultimately eternal. And that is what is going to God after this life, Christians. Your soul will go to God after this life. And that is a beautiful thought. Luke chapter 12 and verse 22. Luke 12, 22. Luke 12, 22. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Now we're going to read the extent of these verses here. I want to make sure I get this exactly the way that I... Okay, we're going to go back to Matthew, because I think that one might be better for us. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. This one also is a great section for not worrying about your life. Life is more than food. The body is more than clothing. I want you now to go back to Matthew. You can also mark that one down, that section. But go back to Matthew in verse 6, or chapter 6, rather. You know how it is. You start thinking of a text, or you write down another one, then you got to go read that one instead. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Verse 31. Now verse 32. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let me ask you the priority of those verses. Was the priority that Jesus was trying to urge to the people of a physical nature or a spiritual nature? A spiritual nature. Jesus was trying to get the people to think spiritually and re-gear their minds to think spiritually. Now, the people not here tonight, are they thinking in a physical nature or a spiritual nature? Physical nature. That's not what Jesus taught. That's a problem, isn't it? Not what Jesus taught. Do not worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Christians, don't worry about all these trivial things, and ultimately realize that while our outward bodies are perishing, while our outward bodies are temporary, we have an inward man that is forever, that is eternal. Absolutely eternal. Now I'll give you a couple more verses, and then I promise we're going to be finished. A couple more verses, and I promise we're going to be finished. 1 John chapter 6. 1 John chapter 6, and we're going to read verses, well, we're just going to read verses 6 through 10. Well, we'll read verse 9. I'll let you read that on your own time. 1 John 6 through 10 is the entirety. Oh, yes. 1 John chapter 5, I was thinking 5. not 6. 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. Let's actually just start in 6. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. Verse 8. There are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. So Christians, why are we worried so much about the things in this life? Why are we worried so much about all of these trivial things in life, when we should be more focused on the things that we're reading right here and spreading this to other people and making sure that we know these things for ourselves? Why are we rather tonight not here to learn these things? Why are we not here? That the Godhead is one, the Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit, that the blood, about the blood of Jesus Christ, water and blood, about everything we just learned here, about how the witness of God is greater. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given of his Son. All of this that we are learning tonight, all of this about the inward man and the outward man and not losing heart, every bit of this message of God that I am giving you tonight, people are missing. There are many people tonight missing this message. And I am preaching it, and I'm getting upset because they're not hearing this message that they need to hear. That's awful. That's a terrible thing, Christians. And guess what? I have to remind myself on a day-to-day basis, as every preacher tonight who is likely preaching and watching an audience of people that has halved compared to the one in the morning, I'm having to remind myself that once again they're not rejecting me, they're rejecting God. They're forsaking God. That's what's happening tonight. Once again, Christians, don't lose heart because of the actions of other people. Now, one more reference, not going to read it, but Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 8 is another good reference. How we're renewed by the Holy Spirit through Christ. Beautiful verse. I suggest you go read it after tonight. And then that absolutely beautiful verse that I told you earlier was Zechariah 12:1. I suggest you write that one down, about how God forms the Spirit within man. Now, tonight, the lesson is yours, Christians. The lesson is yours. Once again, I changed the lesson up a little bit because there were some things that we absolutely needed to talk about and how we shouldn't lose heart over the choices of other people tonight. And I want you to understand that I'm right here with you in this fight. I'm right here with you in trying to get people to come back to services. And so many other congregations tonight are right here with us in trying to get people to come back to services. But it's ultimately left up to what? The choices of man. In which man doesn't often make good choices. Spiritually. Don't often make good choices. So don't lose heart because of that. That's the lesson I'm trying to get to you tonight. I hope you're encouraged by these things. And while other people are out experiencing vanity, out with pleasure of vanity and of things in this life, as the Ecclesiastes writer says in Ecclesiastes 12:8, vanity of vanity, all is vanity, vanity of vanities. As he was saying that over and over again, they're out tonight experiencing all their vanity, but we're out tonight worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Amen to that. So brethren, friends, the lesson is yours. I hope you're encouraged once again by this lesson. If there's anything that you have need of tonight, physical, mental, or spiritual, whatever it may be, please let us pray with you and help you tonight. Once again, we're all Christians here tonight, so we know the plan of salvation. Hear the word of God, believe, confess, repent, and be baptized, and then remain faithful. Lesson is yours. If you have a need, come as we stand, as we sing.